Our priorities were to reach out to our partners, reach out to our churches to make sure that they were safe, also to make sure that they knew Samaritan's Purse would be responding. So as we have teams that have already made it into Victoria and also to Portland, we are finding our host churches. We are standing up our relief efforts as quickly as possible so that homeowners will know that help is there and help is on the way. And, of course, over the next few days, we'll continue to stand up more of our disaster relief units as the all clear comes and as we can get into the area.
Welcome to this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Hi, I'm Byron Tyler. I'm sure you've seen the disturbing images from Houston, Texas, and the surrounding communities affected by Hurricane Harvey. Today we want to feature those who are serving people impacted by the storm and are ready to serve during the aftermath of Harvey during the weeks and months ahead. First, we'll hear from Pastor Greg Mott of Houston's First Baptist Church. Pastor Greg has been doing live Facebook feeds twice a day, and this is the post from last night around 10 o'clock. Let's hear that clip now from Pastor Greg Mott.
Hey, Pastor Greg Mott here, Houston's First Baptist. It's like a war zone in Houston is all I can tell you. It is incredible. There's people rescuing people, which is amazing. I've heard of three or four boat rescues just from our own church members, which is amazing to be able to see people moving up to the second floor. I've been trying to call every church member that has had their house flooded, and I cannot keep up anymore. And I just can't tell you, there's our campuses even are taking on just a little bit of water, not in destruction, but just a little bit of water with that. Staff of our campuses are in Waco. Deacons are in Austin. I mean, people are all over the place. One of our campuses, Siena Plantation, our Siena campus that we've had for a few years, is under mandatory evacuation. And so it's been a huge challenge. So literally all of our church members from that campus are now out with family in different places. But we've seen so many amazing stories of people saying, my house is open, I want to help. We're right now at my neighbor's house, actually down the street. I mentioned earlier about some friend of ours that came at 1 a.m. this morning, and they were standing in our driveway with their kids. They had fleed. Everything that they could grab was in their cars to be able to be here. So I want to introduce you to a great friend of mine. We've known each other for over 20 years, a member of our church. This is Mike Cabro. And Mike was the guy and his family on our driveway at 1 o'clock in the morning. And now I've been staying with our neighbors right down the street. So I just wanted him to share with you just firsthand some of the things he's seen, he's learning. We're praying right now. Pray for Mike's house right now. The water has not made it to their doorstep. And we're praying in Jesus' name that it would not make it to their doorstep. They've only been in there 5 weeks.
Yeah. Five and a half.
Brand new house, five and a half weeks that they've been there. So I want Mike to just share just a little bit.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. I've been thinking about it today, and so several of the things I've been thinking about is that there are times that we give and that we receive, and literally just 3 days ago, we heard the tornado. It was a block from our house that came through Siena, and the director of the class that we're in, the Grishams, it hit their house, and so within a couple hours, 20 folks had mobilized and were cleaning up glass and boarding up windows and putting tarps on their roof. And that was a time of giving. And then to find ourselves not even, 48 hours later, where we are in the place where the tables have been turned, and now we are the ones that are in desperate need. Get everything you can. You've got 3 hours. Let's go. And then we got to go. And to have the Williams open up their home for us to be here, it's a humbling experience. I think a lot of times we think we're in control, and situations like this make us realize that we're not. And what's been hitting me is that as the body of Christ, that there's times that we're going to give and help others out. And then there's other times that we need to just receive from the body of Christ as well. And the Williams have done that for us. And so both of those things are just a picture, I think, of the body of Christ and God's love for us. And I think they're both important for us as well. Those moments where we think we're in control and self-sufficient and can give all the time. And then there's a lot of times where we're not, and God's way of revealing to us that we're not in control. And that's where we find ourselves today. And it's a hard place. That's a real hard place. There's a lot of concern about, well, we have the house to go back to, and it's a stressful time. But we do realize that God's in control, and this is the picture of the body of Christ coming together.
Mm-hmm. I want you to pray for Mike and his family tonight and many others. You know, what he was sharing, I've experienced just today as well as pastor. We're the church. I'm used to being the church that we're sending money out to someplace. We're sending a team out to someplace. We're now the church that people are sending teams to us and sending places for us to be able to connect, you know, monetarily and all of those sort of stuff. It's been great, though, to see even Watermark Church in Dallas. They received, we had a team in Budapest, and they were coming back to Houston. When they couldn't come to Houston, they went to Dallas, and Watermark Church took care of them, and they're going to drive back in next week, tomorrow, I think, coming back to Houston. But now we're in a receive mode, and it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird thing to be in a place that you're receiving instead of giving. But I want you to know this. Hey, we're humble enough. We're humble enough. We need the help of the Lord. Mm-hmm. We need the help of brothers in Christ. You know, last week, not even 7 days ago, Mike and I were eating breakfast together, you know, getting ready to go do what I do and go do what he does. And, you know, here we are now today in a neighbor's home. We're all pooling food together and going to have a great meal in just a second. I'm sure it's kind of a hodgepodge meal. We brought a little bit. They brought a little bit. So, you know, all of that. So I want to just tell you lastly, and then we'll pray together, people have been asking, what can you do? Everybody's in shock still. You can pray. That's number one. Pray that the rain stops and the dams hold. Pray for that. Pray for Mike's house and other people's houses as well. And then also, if you would just put your mind around it, maybe you want to go to our website. There's basically three things that we're going to need. We're going to need people to come. We're going to need supplies to give. And we're going to need resources of monetary resources to be able to help with all that's happening. We're getting our church ready for the North American Mission Board to come to our church, all of our campuses. And we're hoping that we're going to house probably 200 to 300 volunteers through the North American Mission Board, those folks, to be able to make a difference in what's happening. So we're getting ready for that. We've been working hard on that. We're wounded, but I'll tell you what, we're strong. And the strength of the Lord, the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. And so let's pray together, and I'll see you back at 10 a.m. tomorrow, and let's pray. Father, we just come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We're live right now, Lord. There's thousands of people praying with us. We're asking in Jesus' name for the rain to stop, for rescues to continue, Lord. We're asking in Jesus' name for the dams to hold, Lord, that are holding back this water. Do not let there be any mechanical or human failure, Lord. We just are praying for that, God, and we're asking, Jesus, protect, protect, protect. Lord, we have so many church members, and we're just one church out of numerous churches, but we stand on the rock of Jesus. No water will get us, Father. We will stand on the rock of Christ, and we believe in you. So we come together and we pray. We pray for Mike's house, and that's symbolically of thousands upon thousands of other houses, particularly in Siena Plantation, Lord. And then, Father, as the waters recede, the church will rise, and Jesus Christ will be glorified, and we'll see people come to Christ that wouldn't have come to Christ any other way. So we just lift this up in the power and the name of Jesus. With thousands, we agree, and we say in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
That was Pastor Greg Mott of Houston's First Baptist Church. He's been doing updates from Houston via their church Facebook feed. Support and volunteers can go through the North American Mission Board at namb.net. namb.net. Samaritan's Purse disaster relief units are now in Texas as Harvey's deadly fury has moved inland and continues to pummel the state, especially flood-prone Houston. Tim Haas is the manager of U.S. Disaster Relief for Samaritan's Purse. He joins Bot Radio Network now. Tim, I believe you guys are mobilizing and have been for the last few days to help the dear folks in the greater Houston area. You watch the reports, it's just so devastating. Breaks your heart to see families being displaced like this.
It absolutely does. It's been a difficult few days watching the news and seeing shots of streets where you would normally see cars with boats running rescue missions, bringing people out from their rooftops to dry land. And for this to be the fourth largest city in the United States, literally thousands of rescues continuing to happen. It's hard to put in perspective, but this is absolutely a devastating and also, unfortunately, now a deadly hurricane, and Samaritan's Purse is mobilizing. to bring help as quickly as we can.
Tell me what the current situation is now for you, Tim. You're in North Carolina right now, I believe.
Yes, sir. Samaritan's Purse is based in Boone, North Carolina, and we have disaster relief units that we mobilized on Friday. We staged in an area north of the storm, waiting to see where the majority of the damage was going to happen. And then once the weather had cleared, we were able to get two of our units in and around the Victoria, Texas area. We have two more units heading out today. We're going to target some areas in and around Houston. Of course, it's too early for us to be into Houston. There's too many rivers and creeks that are still rising. But Samaritan's Purse is standing by with basically all of our assets ready and responding to this event in Texas.
I understand, Tim, there is still the river there that runs close to the edge of town that hasn't even gotten to crest level yet. So more flooding is evident in the next few days.
Yes, there's no question. Speaking with some of the colleagues this morning, there are many times when events happen and you hope that the weather forecasters have missed their predictions. For the most part, they've been right on. They've given the call that there would be 40 and 50 inches of rain in this area. A lot of the storm, as we saw the storm come inland, a lot of those bands that pulled water out of the Gulf and came up around the north side of Houston and the west side, almost to Austin and those areas, tremendous amount of water has come on those lands. As that begins to go downstream, of course, all the streams will rise before that water eventually gets back out into the Gulf. We may be Friday, Saturday before we really see areas of Houston that are safe to travel into.
Tim, what are your priorities right now as you look at this disaster relief and recovery and help? What are your main concerns?
Well, we have many, many relationships along the Gulf Coast of Texas and also Louisiana. Years and years of responding to storms. Today is the 12th anniversary of Katrina. Samaritan's Purse was involved with Katrina for over 5 years. So we have a lot of relationships in this part of the country. Our priorities were to reach out to our partners, reach out to our churches to make sure that they were safe, also to make sure that they knew Samaritan's Purse would be responding. So as we have teams that have already made it into Victoria and also to Portland, we are finding our host churches. We are standing up our relief efforts as quickly as possible so that homeowners will know that help is there and help is on the way. And, of course, over the next few days, we'll continue to stand up more of our disaster relief units as the all clear comes and as we can get into the area once the roads are safe.
An historic storm that Hurricane Harvey has been described as, Tim, and as you mentioned, the relief efforts that Samaritan's Purse was involved with back when Katrina happened 12 years ago. Can you compare storms? I know it's kind of difficult because we're looking at different geographical locations where the storm hit, but in comparison and the way relief's being implemented right now, how would you compare the two?
You know, that's a slippery slope trying to compare storms, because what it boils down to is every homeowner who suffers damage, that's something that we need to address, and it's something that we want to be able to show love and care and show Christ's love to them through the auspices of those local churches. But on a mass scale, we won't know for weeks the full extent of everything that Harvey continues to pummel on Houston. Just pulled up a radar a few minutes before this phone call, and am disheartened to see a lot of circular motion and a lot of rain still coming to that region. The numbers of folks that will be impacted, Houston is by far a much more populated city than is New Orleans, a much larger landmass of area with lots of rain. We really are not going to know numbers for days to come. But really, for listeners who are listening to this interview, imagine that your home is flooded. Imagine that trees are down in your property. Trees are on your house. Trees have fallen on your vehicle. Right now, it's about bringing help to me and to your home and your property right now. And so, with volunteers, we're doing just that. We're going to get into the streets. We're going to get into the impacted areas and begin to make contact with homeowners so that we can help them with things that they need to do to begin cleaning up as quickly as possible.
When you talk about volunteers, you know, they're a great resource for Samaritan's Purse to be able to mobilize all over the world. Talk about volunteers needed, and how can somebody volunteer with Samaritan's Purse, and are there any special skills that are needed?
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say, the first question that's asked is, do I have to have special skills? The answer is no. We need willing people who have the time and who have the ability to be able to go out and work on our teams to go and help these people. A wide variety of tasks that we're going to and services that we're going to offer to homeowners. We're going to help them with their personal belongings. If the house was flooded and there's things that are salvageable that we can get out, we're going to help them do that. There's no special skills needed to help someone box up china or personal belongings, photo albums, things like this. If the house is flooded, we're going to tear out the sheetrock. We're going to tear out everything that's wet. And so a lot of the demolition-type things that we're doing, for one person is overwhelming, but for a group of 10 or 12, cleaning out a room becomes a relatively smaller task than for one person who would be trying to struggle with that all day today and tomorrow and the next day. So it is the availability of people. And the way that they can find out how to engage with Samaritan's Purse is our website, samaritanspurse.org. There's a huge banner responding to Harvey. If you'll click that, you'll be able to see how to volunteer with us and where our sites are standing up, and people will be able to respond directly to those sites.
And, Tim, I'm assuming that same website would be available for those who are not able to personally volunteer manpower but would like to give a financial gift or resource to help the efforts of Samaritan's Purse meet the needs of those in the storm area.
Absolutely. A part of that big banner that's in red that says responding to Hurricane Harvey, people will be allowed to donate. And it really does happen with people's donations and generosity. It gives us the ability to put fuel in these tractor trailers. It gives us the ability to feed our volunteers. So, another great area of need is prayer. There are people who have had to get out of their house and crawl up on their roof and wait for someone to come get them. What a traumatizing event. If I could imagine in my home in Boone, North Carolina, I live by a stream. If I had to get out of my house and crawl up on my roof and wait for somebody to come get me in a boat, that's kind of hard for us to get our minds around. But that's what these people are going through.
Yeah.
So the quicker we can get there with help, the better it's going
to
be.
We also need to pray, Tim. There's elderly people who are so afraid. We have a report, family here in Memphis who has aging parents trapped in their home, but they refuse to leave. They're so confused. They're elderly. And we need to pray for their peace and pray for their protection, too.
That's exactly right. We never really know how we're going to respond in a storm until we're put in that situation. And for the elderly, for those of us who have parents that are older, it's a part of us knowing how to help them through a very trying, a very difficult time. And honestly, prayer is the best thing that we can do in those circumstances, that God would go in and soften their hearts and that we would be able to reason with those who we love with, those that we love and that we're trying to help. And with God's direction and His guiding our lives, be able to minister to people, especially those that are closest to us.
Tim, what exactly is Samaritan Purse supplying? You talk about these big tractor rigs taking supplies down. What do victims of the storm receive as the way of supplies?
Yep, so Samaritan's Purse does not distribute any supplies. Our tractor trailers are packed full of tools. So we go in with the tools that are necessary to go to work right now. We've got mud-out kits there. We've got chainsaws. We have the ability to carry heavy equipment in, so skid steers allow us to move big trees and big piles of debris around someone's property. But what is inside those big disaster relief units are the tools that are needed for volunteers to be able to go to work.
Tim Haas, manager of U.S. Disaster Relief for Samaritan's Purse, thank you, my dear friend, what you're doing for Christ's kingdom to help storm victims and what they're trying to recover from. Our prayers with you, and we encourage our Bot Radio Network listeners to go to samaritanspurse.org. You can make financial contributions to help the relief efforts, and you can also sign up to volunteer your church groups, and we encourage you to do that, but especially prayers are needed. Tim, thank you so very much.
Absolutely, Byron. Thank you for having us on. Bye.
The aftermath of Hurricane Harvey hasn't been totally written yet. Weather forecasters predict remnants of the devastating storm, now a tropical storm, moving into the Mid-South by the weekend. We're joined now by the Mississippi Emergency Management Director, Lee Smithson, out of the Jackson, Mississippi office. Lee, thank you for joining BOT Radio Network.
Sure, it's my pleasure.
So I guess you've been watching reports, hearing about this storm Harvey and the things that the people in Houston have been facing. What do you think about it?
Well, Byron, first of all, we've been watching a tropical storm and then Hurricane Harvey since before it made landfall in Texas. And the first thing I want to say is, on behalf of all the employees of MEMA, our thoughts and prayers go out to the people of Houston and other areas of Texas that have been devastated by this storm. And it's the gift that just keeps on giving, and it's a gift that we don't need. Right now, as Tropical Storm Harvey begins to make its third landfall, now we're looking at heavy torrential rains, not just in Texas, but the entire coast of Louisiana and into the Mississippi Gulf Coast as well, where we're expecting between now and Thursday, 8 to 10 inches of rain along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. So we've got the coastal counties already in the response mode, asking for sandbags and other flood control items that we can provide them. Then as Harvey begins its march to the north, it will go through Arkansas and come through northwest Mississippi through the Labor Day weekend, where it can dump upwards of 10 inches of rain throughout the Mississippi Delta and actually into, of course, the Arkansas Delta and the southern part of Tennessee. So tropical storm and then Hurricane Harvey is not just a threat to the people of Texas. It's impacting Louisiana as far east as the Mississippi Gulf Coast, to include the city of New Orleans, which certainly doesn't need more rain. But then it's going to impact the Arkansas and Mississippi Delta for the next really 6 days.
Yeah.
So it's going to be something that warrants watching all the way through the Labor Day weekend.
Lee, 10 inches of rain, are the water outlets, our creeks and rivers, are they able to sustain that additional water?
No, Byron. And that's the thing is this summer, summer 2017 is going to go down on record as the wettest summer in recorded history. So the ground is saturated. You know, there's no place for the water to go into the rivers and streams. So we are going to see, I can promise, throughout the weekend, we're going to see some localized flash flooding. And that 10 inches of rain could be more in some very small remote or localized flooding. So we're going to see a very high probability of flooding. And then the problem that we have that compounds all of this is, of course, for our farmers up in the Delta regions, the cotton is about ready to be harvested. It's a bumper crop. We haven't seen something like this in years as far as the production of cotton. And the last thing it needs to happen right now is for that cotton crop to get wet. And that's what's probably going to happen.
Don't want to see that.
No.
What preparation is being done currently by the Mississippi Emergency Management?
Well, of course, we're reaching out to all of the county emergency management directors and seeing what needs they have. And, of course, as I mentioned a while ago, sandbags is the number one request that we're seeing now. We've got area coordinators that canvass the states to make sure that everyone is prepared. But really the thing that we're pushing is for our citizens is to have a good preparedness kit, to be prepared to be self-sufficient for 72 hours. That's with food, non-perishable food, obviously, in case power is out. Fresh water, 1 gallon per person per day. Have some cash on hand because if the power goes out, you can't go to an ATM and get money. But just be prepared to be self-sufficient. If you're in an area that is prone to flooding, we ask that you go ahead and evacuate now.
Is there concern about evacuating your residents ahead of time?
Yes. And so, again, the counties in Mississippi do a fantastic job of warning their local citizens. And, again, people know whether or not they're subject to flooding. So the counties will be pushing those messages out, as will MEMA. If you're home flooded in March of 2016 with the flood that we saw through the Delta, you can pretty much count on seeing some water at least close to your home, if not in it, with this event, because we just don't know what Harvey's going to do, but the ground is just super saturated right now. So that's our biggest concern.
Now, are shelters being set up too as we speak?
We've got DeSoto County has got one shelter identified to be opened up. They haven't opened it up yet, and obviously they won't till the forecast firms up. But we've got a lot of our Delta counties that do have pre-identified shelters. that will be opened up. I know the town of Magnolia has a fantastic shelter that they opened up with the flooding in 2016. So we do have shelters identified throughout Northwest Mississippi in those counties. They're in charge of opening the shelters based on the need.
You know, there's a big arts and crafts festival in Iuka this weekend, so those outdoor activities might not make it.
Well, you know, that's just the risk you take going into August when you do have an outdoor festival. You know, we've got our fingers crossed for Iuka. It is on the other side of the state, but we do know that for the Mississippi Delta, it is going to be a wet weekend for them.
Revisit something, Lee, you said about Harvey's third landfall. Usually when you think of a storm or hurricane, even as powerful as Harvey is, it hits the coast and it makes landfall and it moves on forward. But that wasn't the case with Harvey.
No, Harvey the name Harvey will be retired after this one, but it made landfall across the Yucatan Peninsula, came back into the Gulf of Mexico, was not predicted to make landfall higher than a Category 1, but it generated lots of energy. Less than 24 hours from landfall, made landfall as a Category 4, and then with no steering currents, came ashore, quickly went down to a tropical storm, but then parked itself over the Houston metropolitan area. So an unprecedented storm as far as the behavior of it and then the size and scope of it again. So this one will be one for the record books.
Lee Smithson, thank you for what you do to keep us safe as the director of the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency, and thank you for joining BOT Radio Network.
It's my pleasure, Byron.
Thanks for joining this Mid-South Viewpoint special report on the relief efforts helping those impacted by Hurricane Harvey. Please continue to pray for the citizens in these areas as they face many challenges to recover in the aftermath of such horrific and historic storm. Also, please visit Samaritan's Purse at samaritanspurse.org to volunteer and to make financial support towards hurricane victims. You may also consider the North American Mission Board at namb.net or the Salvation Army at salvationarmyusa.org. Do whatever you can to support those in need at this time. Thanks for listening. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.